Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician, soon to be the holographic gypsy as of tomorrow, actually. And we'll see how that works on the road. My special guest tonight is Cynthia Crawford, and you guys are going to love her. Welcome to the show, Cynthia.
Thank you.
This is going to be so much fun. And I'm going to ask you to give a little bit of information about yourself, but let me first pique their interest. This is the Enlightened Medicine Show. That encompasses a whole lot of different subjects. The thing that's interesting about Cynthia, listeners, is that she is an alien hybrid, for real. So this is a real interesting person, and she's just as sweet as anything. She is too sweet to be 100% human, that's all I can say.
Well, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. It's well-deserved. And so I think they're going to be very interested in your story, Cynthia. I know I was, And the more that I get to know you, the more impressed I am, and I think it's just amazing how you manage to maintain your sanity where all these people are crazy. So.
Well, it's interesting because most of my life people thought I was crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know how that goes. So this is going to be interesting. So if you would, please go ahead and let's start with your story. How did you find out about all this?
Well, the first thing that happened to me, I would have to say, was as a child, I used to have strange things happening to me in which my mother never knew where she was going to find me when I would wake up in the morning or when she would wake up in the morning. Sometimes I would be found outside, sometimes on the doorstep and sometimes out in the yard. And on some rare occasions, I would be found someplace in the house. And I would recall memories of being taken to underground facilities at night, some of the time, and in which I was being examined and asked questions. Most of the time, the examinations would entail things like finding out my ability to use my mind or my muscles.
Mm-hmm.
Let me add also, I was a twin. I was born a twin.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until I was, about 5 years old when my twin sister was diagnosed with a disease that the doctors found no other explanation for than to say it was muscular dystrophy.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a problem walking and was constantly falling. And that was the first thing that made me wonder, why was she so different from me? Later on, the doctors were going to do a muscle transplant to see if some of my muscle tissue would actually grow in her body.
Mm-hmm.
The doctors were astounded when they took tests to find out we had totally different blood types and totally different tissue types, let alone muscle tissue types.
Man, that is amazing.
Well, the most amazing part was it never rang true that I was really different. I mean, I felt different. My whole childhood, I always felt like I didn't belong.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't until I was in my 30s that my father actually came to me, and told me, do you know why you were different than the others? Let me back up for a moment. I also, growing up, was very psychic, and my older sister had problems accepting my ability to move objects with my mind.
Mm-hmm.
My mother always told me that my psychic abilities was the works of the devil. She was a very religious woman.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
But now going back to my father making the statement when I was in my early 30s that I was a hybrid, and that was the reason why I was, number one, very psychic most of my life from the time I was a child on up, and also the reason why while I was married in my early 20s and had children, why I had numerous missing pregnancies.
Mm.
And, of course, since I had been brought up to be religious, I believed that my father was, you know, losing his mind,
mm-hmm.
and I laughed at the information he gave me. What I was later to find out, that although my father was in the Army for the first 5 years of my life, my father worked on top secret projects involved in with the OSS,
mm-hmm.
later to become the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
So when my father told me I was a hybrid, going back to that, I rather shrugged it off, kind of laughed it off, actually, which upset him. And it wasn't until later on in my life when I had a very serious auto accident. Well, I was walking across the street and a man ran a red light, struck me with his car, and I was in the walk section mm-hmm. of the street, and I was thrown 30 some feet up in the air, 75 feet out into the street.
Eesh.
I lost one third of my brain, and I also suffered a lot of damage to my body, numerous broken bones, a broken pelvic area. The doctor said that it would take about 6 months for me to heal and be able to walk on crutches.
Mm-hmm.
Within 2 months, I was walking without crutches.
Wow.
But there again, the doctors told me on examination when I started going to a neurologist that he found some very unusual muscle tissue that I had. He'd never seen muscle tissue like mine. And he said, where most people, the muscle tissue would take several months just to begin to respond to all the trauma that it had gone through.
Mm-hmm.
My muscle tissue, within a matter of weeks, began reacting. And like I said, within 2 months, I was walking again.
And that's amazing. It's amazing you even lived through that.
Well, it is, but I will admit that it took me 5 years, however, to say complete sentences
mm-hmm.
and to remember from one moment to the next. But during the time that I had gone through the surgeries from the accident, and I went through six surgeries, I began having flashbacks
mm-hmm.
about being on UFOs,
mm.
and I began remembering things about when I was a young woman in my 20s, and the numerous times that I would be driving along late at night, and all of a sudden my car would be engulfed in a bright light, and I wouldn't know anything until the next morning. I would wake up in bed, and my husband would say that I came home. I wouldn't even talk to him. I was like I was in a hypnotic state. And immediately I would fall asleep.
Hmm.
So these were incidences that happened numerous times, and as well as being when I was 16 years old, I remembered waking up outside and seeing a very tall being, well over 7 feet tall, wearing a black hooded cloak,
mm-hmm.
standing behind me. And I had no idea how I got outside in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, the last thing I was going to do was tiptoe home. So mm-hmm. I ran like crazy.
Yeah, that would pretty much scare the crap out of you.
Yeah, it did. But the worst part was my mother told me that all the while I was growing up, I was constantly sleepwalking. And I said, well, what do you mean I was sleepwalking? And she said that she would always hear the doors open or close.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, she never thought to get up to find out what the noise was, but she knew somehow it was me, because as a little toddler, I was, you know, there again, I was a sleepwalker. And I never knew when I would wake up in the morning if I was going to find dirt or grass between my toes.
Boy.
And then, again, I had numerous pregnancies that were missing. And I began having visions of these babies taken from me after I had my accident.
Mm-hmm.
And these visions came when I was in the operating room and I saw the bright light over my head just before they knocked me out.
Mm.
So I remembered several pregnancies. And then after I finally recovered to the point where I could almost say complete sentences, and it was a long process, about 5 years before my brain functioned mm-hmm. well enough to where I could actually work. But after I finally got my brain functioning, I began checking out or investigating my recollection of being abducted. So I went to a psychologist for help. And it was through the psychologist that I learned one of the most important things. Because, you see, most of my life, even though I knew I was being abducted, I remembered times when I would go up, I'd be pulled up into the air and through the night, and I would see sometimes other people being pulled up into the air,
mm-hmm.
never remembering exactly what was happening to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to have a terrible fear of alien movies, and I always felt like a victim, and especially mm-hmm. after I recalled the number of pregnancies taken from me.
Mm-hmm.
I considered myself a victim. And it was, oh, me, poor me. I'm a victim. I'm an abductee. I've been taken against my will, and so on and so forth. But once I started seeing this psychologist in Phoenix, Arizona, by the name of Dr. Ruth Hover, and started going to an experiencer group, I started meeting other people that were similar to me, some that had backgrounds almost identical to mine, and I began realizing I wasn't alone, and to my surprise, I began meeting other people that not only said they were hybrids, they could prove they were hybrids. Mm. They also had very strange DNA, as I had, very strange blood types. And by the way, when I was pregnant with my son, which I was allowed to keep my son, the doctors found when they took a blood sample, because they were afraid they had to take him cesarean, that I might bleed to death if due to the emergency surgery. So they were trying to find blood that would match mine
mm-hmm.
in case I needed it. And they told me, this is the strangest thing that we found. You have an antibody that does not allow you to have blood transfusions unless the person has that antibody in their system.
Mm.
At that time, they found that there were only two other people beside myself that had this blood type.
Man, now that is bizarre. That is very bizarre. And that's like two other people in the world, right?
Right. At that time, and I was 24, which has been more than 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to admit that, but it's true. More than 30 years ago is when the doctors told me that. But what was interesting was my son, when I got pregnant with my son, and back again, this was back when I was 22 years old, and I was pregnant with my son, and I remember being on a ship, and I remember being told that I was going to have a son and that he would do great things in the future to help save the planet Earth.
Mm.
And I woke up that very next morning, and I told my husband that I was pregnant with a boy and that he was very special. And, of course, my husband didn't believe it. He said, there's absolutely no way you're pregnant. And 2 weeks later, I was proven correct.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's an amazing story. How old is your son now?
Oh, well, my son is now, let's see, he's 36.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing is, it was almost as if, this is so strange, he never looked like my husband, and yet I was faithful to my husband.
Mm-hmm.
It was so odd, so that when I saw that series that Spielberg wrote that was called Taken,
mm-hmm.
and I saw about this couple that are brought together on a ship and how they have a child between them.
Mm-hmm.
The woman consciously doesn't remember who the father of the child is.
Right.
And I began, when I saw that program, I began thinking, well, I wonder if this is maybe true about more than just this movie. I wonder if that may have been what happened with my pregnancy, because my son is so different.
And in what way is he different, other than the looks?
Excuse me. Well, my son has always, first of all, besides having a totally different body than his father and looks, like we mentioned, my son has got these piercing blue eyes, and he's always had a fear of the night, which was the same thing I used to fear as a child. I also remember when he was a little boy and a toddler, there would be times I would be staying up late at night when my husband was working the night shift,
mm-hmm.
and I couldn't fall asleep right away, and I'd be watching these late movies, and all of a sudden I would see these little beings going into his room, and for some reason I thought I was seeing ghosts. And so I did nothing about it.
Oh, wow.
And then my son would wake up in the morning and he'd have bloody noses.
Mm-hmm.
And then as he got older, he would tell me that he had a hard time sleeping at night, but that he was always afraid that something was in his room or he was going to be taken. But he never, ever said or thought that this had to do with UFOs or beings from other worlds. He didn't know. He just had a hard time sleeping. And it wasn't until he got into his, probably his early 30s,
mm-hmm.
when he and his wife when she became pregnant with the first child, they were off camping. And by the way, he happened to marry a woman who was an experiencer who had been taken off on UFOs.
Oh, gee.
Isn't
how strange.
And the night that she became pregnant with their first child, they both had an experience while they were camping out, and she woke up making some kind of a comment about these, when she realized that her husband was coming in, my son was coming in, to wake her up to have some coffee. She says, oh, I wasn't sure if it was you this time.
Mm.
She said, I don't know why, but I felt like that like I was taken away through the night.
Mm.
Strangely enough, the same thing happened with their second child.
Mm-hmm.
They happened to be camping out and had a UFO experience, and she finds out she's pregnant again. And I thought, well, what's going on here? This is odd. Because I knew that my son was different. He also has a strange blood type like mine.
Mm-hmm.
And
handy in case you need an infusion.
Pardon me?
I said that's very handy in case you need an infusion.
Yeah, but his is strange like mine, but his is an AB, where mine is a B positive. But it's the antibody that we both mm-hmm. have. Very odd. The other thing that happened is both of his children, when they were little, I got the very, very strong feeling that they were very special,
mm-hmm.
and that they would eventually know who they are, and that they that they'd been tweaked.
Mm-hmm.
And I had psychics, as did my daughter-in-law, have psychics constantly telling her, psychics that didn't even know her, would say, your children are very special and they're at the stars. They have a special DNA.
Hmm.
And then recently I was told this by another person who was put into a trance, and this is a person that is able to have the beings come through him, and he speaks, and he said to me, the being speaking through him, you know that you have unusual blood strands. And I said, I'm not sure what you mean by that. Can you explain? And he said, you have a rare DNA. You know that. And I said, yes, I do. And he said, but you also know that your son's is even more rare. And I said, it is. And then the being said, and his children have even a stronger blood strand. And I thought, wow, this is interesting. Something that I need to follow up on in the near future.
Yeah, I'd like to know what the differences are. You know, I mean, we've heard about genetic manipulation for so many years, and people are cloning things, you know, to the point where it's gotten ridiculous. You know, now they're cloning animals with humans, and that's the same thing they did back in the times of Atlantis. So, you know, like, when's the next explosion, you know?
Right.
But, you know, you just kind of go, oh, guys, come on, why do we have to do this again? And you know, so I don't find it that strange to think that this would have happened. What I do find strange, and you and I have talked about this before, is when I read Whitley Strieber's book, Communion, you know, there's that little thing in there where the Greys come into the room and they have a little Mr. Peanut character with them. I remember that. When I saw that in the book, I hyperventilated for about a half an hour, paced around in a circle, and you know, nosebleeds, lots of nosebleeds. I just barely turned my head and my gush. And, you know, I mean, all that kind of stuff. And you just kind of wonder, and, you know, all these years, you know, I've gone through stuff like that, too. Everybody thought I was crazy. And then my mother suddenly remembers this last year. Oh, you know, I was up on the roof hanging in the wash. I remember now. I saw a UFO. I'm going, oh, great, Mom, thanks.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think this happens a lot more than people are wanting to believe. And my question always is, okay, so you've got alien DNA, and what exactly does that mean? You know, what's going to happen with this? And are there other gifts that we get with this? Are there, you know, is there some kind of a thing that's happening with the DNA that helps us to communicate better that is going to help, therefore, to save the world? Because everyone will communicate at once and kind of be on the same track at bringing the world through ascension and you know, stopping the pollution, stopping the bad guys, and all those kinds of things. So these are things I ask myself when I'm in the shower, you know.
Mm-hmm. And I've often wondered that. One of the when you were mentioning that, one of the strange things was when my father told me that I was a hybrid, I didn't believe him. And I certainly didn't want to believe, because then it meant I was even more of a freak, mm-hmm. than what the children used to tell me I was, and the young adults, mm-hmm. because of my psychic abilities.
Mm-hmm.
I finally got the courage to ask my mother one time. I said, Mom, I want to know about when you got pregnant with my sister and I. What happened? And one of the things that was interesting was my father had brought home some champagne, in which she was literally drugged, because he said there was something special that we were supposed to celebrate. And I had made a nice dinner, and then afterwards we were drinking the champagne. I had maybe two sips of it, and I was out cold.
Mm.
And then she said, the interesting thing was, I wake up in the morning, and he tells me we had mad passionate sex, and a few weeks later, I'm sick as a dog, and I find out I'm pregnant. But when my twin sister and I are born, I was born first without an amniotic sac around me.
Hmm.
My twin sister was born in an amniotic sac, was diagnosed at the age of 5 with muscular dystrophy, and what they found out was I had very super muscles, and she had a condition in which she could not utilize protein in her body, and therefore her muscles kept deteriorating until they completely gave out, and she died at the age of 29. I often wondered, why am I a hybrid, and when, what's this mean to me, and what's going to happen to me in the future? Am I going to turn into some odd-looking alien? But I began, when I went to the psychologist and gave up my fear, it took a while for me to completely give up my fear, but I had to learn to give up my prejudice as well. Because, mind you, even though many of the beings out there look a lot like us, very humanoid-looking, there are quite a few that don't look like us. And we're programmed by the Hollywood to believe that if it doesn't look like us and it looks like a little monster, they're bad.
Yeah, and that's not necessarily true.
Oh, no. The very first being that actually materialized for me was a brown being that had real wrinkled skin, like an elephant. And he looked, he had gold eyes with slits in them. And he was very thin and lean, but very humanoid as far as body structure. And when he appeared to me, I felt this immense love coming from him, like nothing I had ever felt ever in my life, excepting when my twin sister died and I had a visitation, which I wasn't sure who it was from, but I felt this immense love then. When, well, that's kind of a long story, but anyway, there was something appeared in my room then, and this is the only other time that I felt this love, and this being lowered his eyelids, afraid that he would terrify me, and he was so humble, and I said to him, please, let me touch your hand, let me feel you. I want to know what you feel like. And he reached out his hand and unrolled three long fingers, very skinny, long fingers that had suction cups on the ends. And I felt his skin, and it felt like that real soft glove leather. And when I held his hand, I felt the most incredible unconditional love. So I will have to say that if I've learned anything through all of this, it is that they are so loving. They have taught me to see that we are all one, connected with the source, what most humans consider God or Buddha or whomever they choose to call the greater being. But they call it the source, or all that is, and sometimes they call it creator. So what they've taught me is that we're all connected to the creator. We're here on this planet for various lessons in our life.
And to learn how to play nice.
Oh, gosh, they're incredible. And it saddens me how many people are afraid of them. Because I first started out a victim, thinking I was a victim, only to find out that the best, the most incredible love I ever experienced is with these beings. And by the way, I've met so many different types of beings from all over the universe, and even interdimensional beings. And through all this, they have given me the ability to sculpture them. They literally work through me, and I make sculptures of these beings.
Yeah, your sculptures are beautiful. I couldn't believe it when you told me that you were not an artist.
Well,
that just amazed me, because the symmetry is gorgeous.
Oh, thank you. Well, the truth is I never went to art school, and so I really didn't know. It just kind of came natural to me for some reason, and what was interesting was I would start sculpturing. When I first started sculpturing, I had no idea what I was going to sculpture. And all of a sudden, I'm sculpturing this being, and I'm hearing this voice telepathically telling me what I need to do to make the nose, how to make the nose, and how to make the eyes. And before I know it, I've made this creature that looks almost human. In fact, it looks like it could have been a human from the medieval period, excepting it has no earlobes and not really pointed, but more of a pointed type ear than most. And other than that, he looked very normal. And they said he was a Syrian being.
Mm-hmm.
So I told people when I made this, I said, oh, I made a Syrian. And everybody said, oh, Cynthia, that's not a Syrian. You made a mystical creature. And it wasn't until 6 months later, a man came into our experiencer group that was from Sedona, or was living in Sedona at the time. And he said, I came to this experiencer group to meet others of my kind. And you'd swear if you looked at this guy and saw the sculpture I had done, that he actually sat for me. It was on everybody was just blown away. They said, oh, my God, Cynthia, you sculptured him. And the guy said, I was sent to planet Earth on a mission because of the new world and what was going to happen before the new world.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I was told I would find my brothers and sisters, other fellow Syrians on this planet, and that we would all work together, and I came here to meet them, and I haven't met them. And he went out of the office, and he was very upset, and I chased after him. And I said, please, let me send this sculpture to you. There's a reason why I made it, and now I know it wasn't my imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Truly, I did make a Syrian.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And the thing that fascinated me, too, when I first heard you speak, was about how... you know, you were throwing away molds because you couldn't get things perfect, and then they told you about, you know, why the molds had to be the way they were, and you know, how you find the people that get these different sculptures. I mean, if you would go into that, that'd be great. I'm sure the listeners would be interested in that.
Okay. Well, what happened was I continued to sculpture these beings, and the first beings I sculptured were beings that I had encounters with.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found myself going into like a trance state. And I would, sometimes I would try to sculpture something specific and my hands just weren't working right. And so I'd say to my beings, I'd say, okay, guys, obviously there's someone you want me to sculpture, so my hands are yours. And I would go into like a trance state. And when I was done, I would have a being created, and I'd say, well, now who's this being? And my beings would telepathically say, it's not important for you to know now, for those who know him will tell you who he is. So I continued, of course, to make various beings and decided to go ahead and do some of these UFO shows as a vendor and see if there was anyone that would recognize him. My beings also told me that I was not to sell them, that the ones that were meant to have them would connect with them and would buy them.
Mm-hmm.
But I was not to convince anybody to buy them, for if they didn't connect, it was not meant for them.
Mm-hmm.
To my surprise, since then, and I've made probably at least, oh, I'd say at least 12 to 15 different types of ETs, or...
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say ETs, galactic beings, our star brothers and sisters. And to my surprise, I have heard back from many people about how they have changed their life. And I will kind of give you a few examples. One of the guys that I was instructed to give him a sculpture, it was a man who knew everything about how to build a UFO. Didn't know why he knew it.
Mm.
And he even had the government one day knocking on his door because he had gone on the internet, had seen some designs for making a spaceship, and he emailed this guy back and told him what was wrong with his designs and what he needed to do to improve upon the spaceship.
Oh,
pretty soon, he gets a knock on his door within a week's time, and it's the government.
Oh, jeez.
And they want to interrogate him to find out how in the world he knew all this stuff about UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this guy didn't know how to explain it. So he told them that it was just something that he knew, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But he came to me one day and said, I've never, ever had encounters. And if I have, they have not been conscious encounters.
Mm-hmm.
And so my being said, give him the sculpture. And there was a certain sculpture I had done. And they said, he will experience us. So I called him up and said, give me your address. I'm going to mail you a sculpture. I'm told, my beings told me, you must have this sculpture. So I mailed it to him, and he had it. And after 2 weeks, he calls me up and says, Cynthia, I've got a real problem. I love the sculpture. It's so cool. But I'm not having any contact.
Hmm.
And just as he said that, my beings were talking to me telepathically.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, that's because he does not believe that he will have them. He must believe. So I told him that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said, he also does not think he's worthy of the encounters. So I told him as well. My being said, you don't think you're worthy. And then I told him what I did, and this is, we can have encounters without this, but this is what I used to do, is I used to make a circle with various crystals surrounding, you know, the outside of the circle, and I would get inside it, and I would put a clear crystal quartz in the center, and I would meditate, and the beings would either communicate with me telepathically, or sometimes they would even move crystals within the circle and would give me messages by that. And I also began having contact at night where I would, they would take me and take me to a school. So I explained this to him. And I said, well, just try this and see if it works. Well, a couple of weeks goes by and he gives me a call and he says, oh, Cynthia, it's been wonderful. I've been having the most incredible encounters, and they're teaching me so much, and I'm really enjoying it. But I've got one problem. I haven't slept for 2 weeks.
Jeez.
And he said, what do I do to get some sleep around here? And I said, all you have to do is tell him, okay, guys, enough is enough. Come back in a week. Let me get some sleep. And he's doing just great. They come whenever he wants them or if they have certain messages to give him. Another person that has one of my sculptures called me up one time and said, I took the sculpture home. I held it for 30 minutes and I cried nonstop.
Mm.
And she said, after I cried, I finally was able to release all this anger and resentment inside of me. For the first time in 40-some years,
wow,
she could release all the negative things she was holding on to.
Mm-hmm.
And after she did that, she began spiritually evolving at a very rapid pace.
Mm.
Another man called me and told me about the Arcturian light being that he had and how he had never been able to love himself, and he spent all of his time loving others,
mm-hmm,
only to find out that after he got this Arcturian light being, and while he was having severe medical problems and almost dying from them, the Arcturian light beings began appearing to him. Not only could he feel unbelievable, unconditional love by touching the plaque of the Arcturian light being, but after that, at night, he would be sound asleep, and he would wake up, and his room would be lit up, and there are these beautiful light beings, mm, giving him love and giving him messages. They even one time took him to the ship where they continued to heal him. And he woke up in the morning, and he was, his body was really hot, as if he would be, as if he had been in an incubator, mm-hmm. is what he called it. Mm-hmm. And he was quite moist. But it was the first time in years that he felt that good.
Wow.
So people report all different types of experiences with it. They only give the people that they need. In other words, if a person buys it with the intention that they're going to have an encounter and that's it, it may be what they truly need is a spiritual awakening.
Mm.
So they will give them only what they need. And I've also had people tell me when I've done various shows where I'm a vendor, I've had a few people be talking to somebody as they pass my booth, and all of a sudden they'll turn around and they'll say, "What? What?" And they'll look at my sculptures and they'll say, "Your sculptures are talking to me."
Mm.
One of the women that happened to bought one of the sculptures, which was that particular one was called a crystal light being, and she was holding, or it, because it was really androgynous, was holding a cluster of a certain type of a crystal. And every time I painted this light being pearl, it kept turning a golden color. And I was so frustrated. And so I get to the show, and it's, here it is. I pull it out of the box, and it's gold again. I run to the store, paint it pearl, put it out there on the table, and this woman, she's one of them that said, that being is talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
She ends up coming back after the third time of coming back to the table. She buys it, takes it upstairs, and it watches it turn this incredible golden color.
Mm.
And a friend of mine who's very psychic happened to come over to my table at the time that this girl comes back to my table and says, "You won't believe this, but that sculpture turned like a pale gold color, and it's glowing." And my girlfriend said, "Oh, yes. Well, you must have been trying to increase your spirituality. Are you looking to evolve?" And she said, "Oh, yes, that's why I came here, was to listen to some people. I'm hoping that spiritually I will evolve." And she smiled and kind of chuckled and said, "Oh, well, I have a feeling you'll be evolving really soon now," because that sculpture was turning the color of the gold, but it happens to represent spiritual, spiritual enhancement or something like that.
Yeah, well, I call it the Christ energy. It's really the... also the energy of unconditional love. And what I've been told is that, you know, no matter how evolved you get intellectually, no matter how many different types of phenomena you can produce, you're not really considered to be ready to be a citizen of the universe until you are able to really practice unconditional love. Now, that doesn't apply to the bad guys, but they're off on a different path anyway. But as far as most of us go, you know, there's that point where you start to glow gold because you're actually bringing, you know, an increased vibratory rate within yourself. And I can tell you that I saw plenty of tall golden beings in my house, you know, before I got the projectors, and then they kind of all disappeared. And I was going, "Hey, what happened? Where'd my beings go?" And then poof, I had the golden creature from the Black Lagoon standing outside my window talking to me. So it's quite interesting, you know. And most of the ones I see are gold, and although we've seen some purple ones, really, really deep, almost midnight purple Andromedans lately.
Oh my gosh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, and my friend Steve that sees very clearly said, "Oh yeah, they're actually a higher vibratory rate than the gold." I said, "Really? You know, that's not something I was aware of." And he said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "They're much, much more powerful. They come from a different region." And so I don't know. I just kind of think it's all neat, and I can't wait to see what else happens. It's pretty interesting when you have all these amazing things going on. And the thing that really is interesting to me, Cynthia, is that when people get your sculptures, they actually do start having increased contact. You know, and they do change in a way that I would call, you know, bringing in the zero point, to where people are aligning, you know, with the source of all that is more.
That's so true. But what was interesting was the beings told me that part of my mission was to awaken people through these sculptures, that there are many of us that are here on this planet for a mission, mm-hmm. to help with the coming Earth changes, to help people step up their spiritual evolution.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they don't know. We get so caught up in the everyday life that we miss out on what truly is important to us. And sometimes they have to be awakened in a different way.
Yeah.
And it seems like what you do definitely awakens people, and what I do awakens them in a different way.
Yeah, I think maybe it takes all of them. Maybe it takes, several taps. You know, like they talk about how it takes seven times of going through something to really start to get it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so maybe it takes like seven different kinds of taps, you know, from that source in order to get somebody to go, oh, aha, you know, light bulb moment.
Right. You know, one of the things, too, that my beings told me before I ever got to this point of making these sculptures, when I first started having conscious contact with me,
mm-hmm.
or with them, they told me the importance of learning, first of all, how to give up greed, judgment, and prejudice in order to evolve into the new world. And later on they told me, when I said, well, that sounds simple, but obviously I haven't been able to master it. So they came back to me and they said, the way you give up greed, judgment, and prejudice is by looking beyond the physical body to see the Creator, the Source, what we call God, and each and every being. The other thing that they did for me one time was they showed me a sunflower. And they said, do you see the sunflower? Well, the Source is what holds the petals, the leaves, the stem, all the sunflower seeds together.
Mm.
And we, all of us in existence, everything in existence, become the sunflower. We are the petals, the seeds,
mm-hmm.
the leaves. But the Source is that holds us together. And when they said that, I began realizing, wow, if that's true, then that means all these beings out there are just like me. I mean, we're all connected.
Exactly.
And they also told me, they said, always remember, there is no better than and no lesser than you, or you are no greater than and no lesser than the other. We are all the same. Some of us evolved at a much higher rate. Others, it takes a little longer,
mm-hmm.
but eventually we'll all get there.
Yeah. And that, you know, I've gotten the same message from angels and from the interdimensionals or ETs or whatever they are. It never occurs to me to ask them anything, you know. It's like I already know, and they come in and they remind me to do something. I'll go, yeah, okay, whatever, you know, and I go back to sleep. And it's just, you know, it's so casual, it's really funny. But
mm-hmm.
but I've gotten the same message myself many, many times. And I've had that experience of actually being inside of everybody else looking at me. And, you know, once you've had that kind of experience, you can't ever go back. You know, it doesn't mean that you still don't get irritated with everybody
and get upset about different things. It just means that when you sit down and you think about it, you realize, oh, they're me.
Yeah. One of the weirdest things that happened just in the last few months, the beings came to me, and they took me, and they said, we're going to teach you about your soul self. And they took me out of my body, and they said, your body is but a container for which you are able to maneuver around your planet. And they took my soul and put it in somebody else's body.
Mm-hmm.
And said, see, you are a soul, that is a container. And then they took me out of that body, put me in a totally different body, and they did this, and finally I said, okay, I get the point. Can I kind of go back to my body? That was interesting. Because
it kind of gives
a
whole different feel to walk-ins, you know?
Oh, my gosh, it blew me away, because then I started saying, oh, my gosh, I mean, if all this is a container,
mm-hmm.
then no wonder we're all one. So those beings on other planets, they're the same thing as we are, but they're just in a different container so they can get around the frequency and the conditions of their planet.
Exactly. And, you know, I can't thank you enough for coming on and talking about that, because this is stuff that I know, but, you know, sometimes the listeners get tired of me listening to me go, yap, yap, yap. Yeah. So it's nice to have someone else that comes on and basically, you know, has had that same truth given to them with different experiences. And, you know, we have a pretty hip audience here on BBS Radio. And I think that that quite a few of my listeners have had these kinds of experiences also. We were talking about dimensional shifting and things like that last week. And we had someone that called and said, oh, yeah, you know, I see my guide. And, you know, she just, like, pops into vision right in front of me. And he said it happened when he was on a train. And she wasn't quite following him, but she was there every place that he went. And he said, just sitting right across from me, you know, and just poof, there she was. And then poof, there she was gone. And then you look at quantum physics, quantum mechanics, and electrophysics and the things that they've learned now. And they say, we're only halfway here anyway. You know, when your electrons are on, you're here.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're off, where are you? They don't really know, but they think it's another here. It's another dimension. So this stuff is starting to get really exciting now.
Oh, every day isn't it great? I love every day. In fact, I love going to bed at night because I never know what experience I'm going to have or what new teaching I'm going to learn.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I've had some wild stuff happen in my life, too. And I was we haven't had a chance to talk about what happened after the quantum vortex gathering at your place, but I was really shocked to see on the film that, you know, I had set up two sets of the projectors right in alignment with your vortex. And on both cameras that Laura did, there were lines going from the center of the jewel, you know, up and down the screen. Same thing on both cameras, and then on Greg's camera, too. So I thought, isn't that interesting? We're on a vortex line, and, you know, here's this line that's showing up for us to photograph. And then, you know, seeing the orbs and all that kind of stuff, too, that was very interesting. And you know, feeling the energy and such. So I bet you do have quite a lot of fun in your place.
Well, I do. The other thing that I love about it is there's also, I found out there's a portal there because my beings have woken me up to go through the portal to mm-hmm. do some other things that they say is part of my mission. But, yeah, it's wonderful. In fact, I don't know if I told you this, but the very next night after the vortex party,
mm-hmm.
I happened to get up to have a drink of water in the middle of the night. It was about 12:15. And I look out over that mountain,
mm-hmm.
and there were like four or five of these. It looked like stars, only bigger than stars. And they were doing some kind of signals back and forth to one another. And I'm going, where were you guys last night?
Well, they might have had to come from a long distance.
That's true.
You know, that's the thing, and you never know what's going to show up and what's going to happen. You know, I never know. I just know that the experience is soft and gentle, and that people can, you know, experience as much or as little as they want to and as they're open to experiencing. But the thing that I love about it is that when you're in that zero point arena, it's gentle, it's easy, you know, it flows. And so there's nobody forcing anything. It's just a flowing with the rest of the inhabitants of the creation,
mm-hmm.
including the angels, you know, and everybody's just there, you know, kind of working together. And I like to take that opportunity to do the unconditional love thing because it's so important to our survival as beings, you know.
Absolutely.
Hey, before it gets too late here, we've only got about 2 minutes left before they throw the hook out. It's always fascinating talking with you, Cynthia, and I really appreciate you coming on. If you could give out your contact information so people could get a hold of you and see if maybe they're supposed to have some of your sculptures, that would probably be a good thing.
Sure. I don't have a website yet, but I can give you my email address, and anyone who writes to me, I will be happy to forward some pictures.
Excellent.
And in the meantime, I do have someone that's going to be putting a website together for me. Mm-hmm. But my email address is Cynthia, T as in Tom, Crawford, and I'll spell that out. It's Cynthia, CynthiaT as in Tom, Crawford, CrawFord. That's all one word, at msn.com.
Okay, great. I think that you're going to be getting some some emails from people. You know, there's so many people out there searching, and BBS Radio is kind of all about that, you know. We're all in this together, and we're all just loving life, you know, and enjoying everything.
Well,
so,
I look forward to it.
Yeah. So, listeners, I have seen Cynthia's work. It's beautiful. There, and actually you had one of my ancient relatives that you sculpted. We need to talk about that sometime, too.
Sure.
But, yeah, very, very interesting work, and it's gorgeous, and you guys really have to see it. And I promise you it'll change you. And I think we are about out of time.
Well, thank you so much for having me on.
Well, it's quite a pleasure. I'm so glad you came on, and hopefully that helped a few listeners that have probably had some weirdness in their lives and might still be having some. So.
And that weirdness is good.
Yeah, this kind of weirdness is fun. So thank you, and listeners, thank you for tuning in. And as always, be happy, be healthy, and be who you really are. Nighty-night.
Come, my children, time to awake from your sleep.